The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the October 2025 issue of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will finish the piece we began last week about the friendliest places in the South. And then we'll go on to our friend the Grumpy Gardener, who's here with us each month. All right? Great. Friendliest places in the South. Last time we went to Birmingham, to the Bottega, Tupelo, Mississippi, to the, Cooking is a First Language organization, and Morehead City, North Carolina, the Friendly Market, Lexington, Kentucky, Crank and Boom Craft Ice Cream, San Antonio, Texas, Hotel Emma, and we ended with New Orleans, Louisiana's Camellia Grill. Now on to Asheville, North Carolina, and Whist Greetings and Gifts, designed to make you smile. Oh, listeners, excuse me, the cover of this magazine is an aerial photo of Maggie Valley, North Carolina. It's nestled into the Blue Ridge Mountains, which here are covered in the colors of brass, peach brandy, and every flavor of apple you can imagine, with the blue of the Blue Ridge in the background and in the sky. And top to bottom, it reads, Southern Living, Fall Getaways, Weekend Escapes Full of Color and Charm, Friendliest Places in the South, The Heart of Bourbon Country, Old-Fashioned Apple Desserts, Cozy Dinners for Cool Nights, plus the Comfort of Low Country Purlieu. And the caption of the photo is Cataluchi Ranch in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. Excuse me. So, as we were hearing here, Asheville, North Carolina, Whist Greetings and Gifts, designed to make you smile. Do you need a thumb-sized garden gnome? How about some washi tape printed with strawberries or a jigsaw puzzle of the Appalachian Trail? Whist, a 12-year-old store in West Asheville, specializes in delightful items that you might not require but will certainly want. Owners Damon Gallagher and Nora Yaki have curated an inviting space filled with things that spark laughter and bring a little joy to daily life, from greeting cards to keychains. We strive to be an oasis where, for a few moments, you might be able to forget your cares and perhaps find the perfect card or gift at the same time, says Yaki. Even if you leave there empty-handed, you'll be in a good mood. Chattanooga, Tennessee, the book and cover. Grand Central for readers. Step inside this restored bungalow where the humble book club is the hottest ticket in town. There's even a waiting list. Helmed by friends Sarah Jackson, Emily Lilly, and Blaze Green, the store hosts 10 to 12 of them a month, with genres ranging from graphic novels to cocktails. The care and thoughtfulness that go into our clubs make them truly special spaces. And that is made possible by our team members, along with community partners, like folks from the library and our neighborhood bar, says Jackson, who notes that, aside from being fun, the gatherings have a deeper purpose. We believe that books are windows into new perspectives and new worlds, and that reading and talking about what you've read are important ways to foster empathy and connection. That's the book and cover in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this is, now we're in multiple locations, Wawa, the friendly pit stop for fueling up. The secret to the success of this family-owned convenience store chain has to do with something called Goose Pride, a workplace culture rooted in loyalty and care. The company has been around for more than 200 years, and Wawa has over 1,000 locations across the East Coast. Wherever you visit, the sense of familiarity is the same. Whether it's a neighborhood staff member who remembers my favorite sandwich toppings, or a bright red sign that signals a comforting stop on a long road trip, it's the dependable service that keeps me breaking for Wawa, says our social media director, Brennan Long. On top of that, the Wawa Foundation also sends care packages to troops, and the employees can receive tuition assistance. Spartanburg, South Carolina, Clevedale Historic Inn and Gardens, a family-run stay with all the charm. Owners Pantheola and Paul Abernathy took a leap of faith when they purchased a 1913 estate in 2012, transforming it into a cozy inn. Their vision and hard work paid off in thousands of smiles and repeat visitors who now feel more like family. Their bed and breakfast is full of small joys, a meal of shrimp and grits, weddings under a fig tree, and a historic red caboose converted into a suite. I often say hospitality is mutual, she explains. It's not only what the hosts provide, it's the guests showing up with their own backgrounds to create a shared experience. And listeners, this has a photo here, almost a quarter of the page, of the inn, the front of the inn. And it has, I think it's Greek architecture, but it's a pitched roof with a circular window of some sort right beneath the point, and four columns that don't exactly look like Greek to me. They look more contemporary, just straight columns with one straight square on the top. And it's a two-story estate, two-story mansion, it looks like. We've got three windows on the top and on the bottom, two windows on either side of the front door. And they are dark green, and it's a beige color, the entire, appears to be wood. Maybe the facade in the front is brick, and then it's, might be brick on the sides. We can't see it too well. There are two Greek urns in the front to greet you. And in the foreground is a green lawn and some nice, I think, magnolia leaves of trees, branches, and some evergreens as well, flanking the building. That's Clevedale Historic Inn and Gardens in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And now on to Auburn, Alabama, the Laurel Hotel and Spa. Five-star service by college students. At this AAA Five Diamond Hotel, you might be surprised to learn that about 70% of the staff is made up of students, most of whom are enrolled in Auburn University's Horst Schultz School of Hospitality Management. You won't find a traditional front desk here. Instead, guests are escorted to the library for a concierge-level check-in that includes a champagne toast and a thoughtful orientation to the hotel, says General Manager Josh Head. An Alabama reader called it a gem in the Auburn area, saying staff is helpful and attentive without being overbearing, and the food is incredible. The on-site eatery, 1856 Culinary Residence, has a tempting tasting menu, and Heyday Market is a globally inspired food hall. That's the Laurel Hotel and Spa in Auburn, Alabama. Now on to Clarkston, Georgia, for the Refuge Coffee Company, the inviting cafe changing lives. 10 years ago, Kitty Murray started Refuge Coffee Company to cultivate a local gathering place where the entire community feels instantly at home, even folks who have just arrived in the United States. Clarkston is often called the Ellis Island of the South, and the city is proud of its nickname. With one of the most culturally diverse populations in the region, it's been a designated refugee resettlement area since the 1990s. More than just a coffee shop, Refuge has a workforce development program to help newcomers get settled, connect with people, and learn skills to assist them in building new lives. Welcome is a universal capacity. Everyone needs it, and everyone knows how to give it, says Murray. We tap into this fact by working with our refugee and immigrant neighbors to create spaces that are wildly and intentionally welcoming. Great coffee helps for sure. And there's a small photo here, listeners, of a red van or truck, the open doors in the front, or a small bus, it appears to be. And there are three women. One is standing, and one is on the first step of the bus, and the other is on the top step. And they are from two different generations. Two of them are students, and the other is an older woman. And the students have black hair, smiles, and they are wearing shirts that say, long black T-shirts that say Refuge Coffee Company, black trousers and black shoes. And on the top step, the woman on the top step has white hair, glasses, and she is wearing a turtleneck, loose, light brown shirt over some dark trousers, and she has tennis shoes or sneakers or trainers on, depending on where you're from. And all three are smiling. That's Refuge Coffee Company in Clarkston, Georgia. Now we're going on to Panama City Beach, Florida, and Andy's Flower Power Cafe and Bakery, starting your day with sunshine. Unlike at many restaurants in this busy beach town, residents and tourists will happily wait in line for a table here. The secret ingredient is chef owner John Certo, who treats the dining room like it's his home. You'll find him popping in and out of the kitchen to check on diners, offer menu suggestions, and pull up a chair to chat. It means the world to me to hear people say the boy from New York is bringing back Southern hospitality, he says. And we've got a photo of him here, listeners. Certainly looks very friendly. He is a bald man with a beard and mustache that's brown and gray. Very friendly smile, and he's wearing a gray uniform of some T-shirt that seems to be a restaurant uniform of some sort. He's behind the bar, and he is extending a delicious-looking drink out to us. It's got some fruit hooked to the rim of the glass, and it is a fall color, a tawny color, like a dark apple or a wild cherry maybe. And that's Andy of Andy's Flower Power Cafe and Bakery in Panama City Beach, Florida. Now on to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, a small town with a generous spirit. A come-as-you-are destination curled into the Ozark Mountains, Eureka Springs is a Victorian locale with a flair for the unexpected. Its steep, meandering streets form a patchwork quilt filled with artists, spiritual seekers, motorcyclists, weekend wanderers, and retirees, each adding their own thread to the fabric. Everyone is so friendly, says an Arkansas reader. Shop owners will strike up a conversation with you. It almost almost feels like everyone knows each other. Eureka Springs, Arkansas. All right, now on to Granville, Tennessee. T.B. Sutton General Store, a historic hangout and music venue. Inside T.B. Sutton, floor-to-ceiling shelves display an impressive collection of nostalgic toys, books, and candy. But the ever-present group of front porch patrons licking ice cream cones and shooting the breeze in rocking chairs speaks to the fact that this is more than your average retail shop. Open since the 1800s, it is both a gathering place for locals and Granville's biggest tourist attraction. An upstairs gallery features goods from regional artisans, and every Saturday night, the store turns into a music venue with a live bluegrass show that's broadcast all over the world. Wow. That's the T.B. Sutton General Store in Granville, Tennessee. Listeners, if I mispronounce this, but I believe it is Nacogdoches, Texas. Susu's Popcorn and Candy Cafe, making you feel like a kid again. The seeds for Susan Sowards' two-year-old business were sown in 1981 with the popcorn shop she and her mom had in Fort Worth. "I always wanted to do it again," she says, "and now I'm living the dream." Known as Susu to her five grandkids and to many of her customers, Sowards has made a store as famous for its fun atmosphere as it is for its gourmet snacks. "We embrace children and older people and just everybody," she says. "You can feel it on Saturday, and it's beautiful to watch because they'll just get their drinks and a little bag of popcorn, and 30 minutes later, they're still sitting there talking." On to St. Albans, West Virginia, the community looking out for its elders. Since 2017, St. Albans has worked to help residents with dementia feel safe and welcome wherever they go. Although this is a common diagnosis, its symptoms can be invisible and interfere with everyday activities like dining out and shopping. The town has trained business owners on how to recognize signs of the condition and offer help, formed support groups, and even crafted a mobile hands-on dementia experience trailer. In 2020, it became an official dementia-friendly community, joining others across the country. Chris Braley, co-chair of Dementia Friendly St. Albans and owner of Braley Care Homes, says, "As a group, we are constantly trying to find new and creative ways to bring awareness to dementia and make it easier for caregivers and those with dementia to be supported in our community." And listeners, we have a photo of them here. It says Hansford Senior Center. And it's on gray wooden beams, the sign. And there's a red heart, and within it it says, "Yours at Heart." And there are people of varying ages, varying generations, and varying genders here. And they're all smiling, and they're all wearing light blue Henley shirts or T-shirts, short-sleeved shirts. And some have black trousers, some blue trousers, and one's wearing white shorts, and some are wearing white trousers as well. And they're all smiling, and there's green grass and green trees in the surrounding them. That's Hansford Senior Center in St. Albans, West Virginia, a dementia-friendly community. Ocean Springs, Mississippi, Vestige. A culinary gem on the coast. It takes a special kind of place to earn a loyal following while constantly trying new things. At their James Beard Award nominee restaurant, Vestige, husband and wife duo Alex Perry and Kumi Omori have achieved just that. Their five-course tasting menu changes daily, but their creativity and warmth are always consistent. You'll find a bit of both on every plate, where they bring together Gulf Coast ingredients with the finesse and elegance of Japanese cooking. From the chefs who craft each dish to the servers who explain them with passion, Vestige is Mississippi hospitality at its finest, says senior food editor Josh Miller. And here we have a photo, small photo, listeners, of some shrimp, looks like a shrimp bisque, in a blue-rimmed bowl, a blue bowl, in a blue bowl. The bisque is of a golden color. And the shrimp still has its tails. It looks like they're still in shells to be, yes. And there are four of them on the side of the bowl. That's Vestige in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. And here we have multiple locations for H-E-B, as in Bravo. And that is the beloved neighborhood grocery. A textbook example of Texas pride. H-E-B has spent 120 years earning its place as more than just a grocery store. From delivering disaster relief during devastating recent floods to investing in food banks, the business's presence extends far beyond its checkout lines. Customers return for the combo loco deals, cult favorite salsas, and staff who know their names. It's not just the in-house products that keep me coming back, but a genuine sense of community from employees who make my weekly shopping trip great, digital editor Caitlin Yarborough Sadek says. And that's H-E-B. And finally, in Bristol, Virginia, Shanghai Chinese Restaurant, where customers become family. Since opening their downtown Bristol eatery in the 1990s, Sean and Ying Chen have provided generations of Virginians with native Chinese cuisine as well as Americanized favorites. Committed to doing things the old-fashioned way and sharing their culture with others, the Chens still make egg rolls by hand and often cook lesser-known vegetables from their garden for anyone who asks. Over three decades, the community has witnessed the Chen's children growing up, attending their sports games, hearing them practice piano in the restaurant, and blurring the line between customer and friend. They know everyone who walks in, says Xi Chen of his parents. During the annual Rhythm and Roots Reunion Festival, Shanghai is the first to set up a stage for performing bands. It's funny, there's a bunch of bluegrass music happening in the middle of a Chinese restaurant in the South. And it's this amazing melting of cultures, he says. And we have a photo, listeners, of Sean and Ying Chen. They are standing in their restaurant. It has an open feeling to the restaurant, a round table with wooden chairs surrounding it, tiled slate floors, and Mr. and Mrs. Chen are standing. He has his hand around her arms. She has her hands folded. She's wearing a red shift sleeveless dress and white pearls and black and tan flats. And he is wearing a white-collared shirt over which is a red bib apron, khaki trousers, and brown lace-up shoes. He has dark brown hair. She has gray hair cut to a short bob, and she's wearing, I think, rimless glasses. And they are both smiling. They welcome you to Shanghai Chinese Restaurant in Bristol, Virginia. And now on to the Grumpy Gardener. As you know, listeners, this is, or you may know, this is a regular feature in Southern Living Magazine by Steve Bender. It always begins with a cartoon, and this one in the background is a fire. I don't know what's burning, but something's burning. It's hot, high flames and smoke filling the blue sky, the otherwise blue sky. In the foreground on a lawn, there are two firemen with their gold helmets and their fire extinguishers on their back. And there is on the left side of the foreground a purple hydrangea bush, and on the right side a red fire hydrant. The hose, one fireman is holding a hose that's dripping water. It's coming out of the hydrangea bush. And he is saying to the other fireman, "Maybe I heard wrong, but I swear you told me to hook it up to the hydrangea." Hydrangea instead of the hydrant. Okay. This is The Grumpy Gardener by Steve Bender. Dear Grumpy, is October a good time to plant hydrants? Signed, Bob. Plant hydrants, Bob? Either the autocorrect on your laptop has lost its mind, or you've mixed up words starting with H. It's understandable. Who hasn't done this but me? I'll go out on a limb, a sturdy one, of course, so I won't end up like a deer hunter whose tree stand collapses at 2 a.m. And guess you're talking about plants, like maybe hydrangeas? If so, you will be thrilled to know that October is an excellent time to set out all types of these shrubs. For each one, dig a hole 3 times as wide as the root ball, but no deeper. Set it in the hole, fill in around it with the excavated dirt, pat down the ground to settle it, water thoroughly, and then mulch. This will give the roots loose soil in which to spread. And in case of fire, do not connect hoses to hydrangeas. It won't work, and the fire chief will be upset. And that's our time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia for reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.